We listen for God's words. Gracious God, help us so to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. The Lord your God, you shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and consecrated it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mark. And now we're going to kick off our three-part series on rest by hearing about Sabbath keeping. Good morning. Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Let's hear the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat it. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He left that place and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand, and he asked him, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has only one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored, as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of our Lord. Lord, may you open our hearts up to hear your good news in this text today. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word, O Lord, stands forever. Amen. So again, good morning. It is a joy to be with you today and to open up this short series on rest, Sabbath, sabbatical, jubilee. This practice of sharing pulpits and speaking to each other's congregations is a great joy for me. It's a homecoming and an opportunity to delight and reconnect. So thank you for welcoming me into your worship services today, friends at Cordata and FPC. And to our St. James family, how great is it that we have such strong bonds with our family of Presbyterian churches that we can not only hear from each other's pastors in this season, but that it actually highlights the mutual support and care that we all provide for each other and that we all so desperately need right now. Now, in the hit musical, Hamilton, we see the unfolding love story between Alexander Hamilton and Elizabeth Schuyler. The ambitious founding father is a workaholic, not willing to throw away his shot to rise up and create a new nation out of the American Revolution. His work and writing consumes him, but he also loves Elizabeth, Eliza. And so he's caught between his destiny to make a better nation and be present as a husband and a father. Eliza sings a beautiful, heartbreaking song to Alexander called "That Would Be Enough," as she longs for him to come home, to be with her, and to be happy with what is. The song wrenches on our hearts because we too feel that tension. If we are to take rest, will there be enough? Or if we step away from our work, have we done enough to let it lie for a day? At the heart of practicing the Sabbath is the recognition that there is enough to go around, that God has provided enough. Out of the land of Egypt, the Israelites venture into the wilderness and receive the commandment to practice the Sabbath day. This is God's response to the powerful oppression from Pharaoh over the Israelites, where he forced them to make bricks day after day with no reprieve. There was never enough in Pharaoh's perspective. And God pushes directly against this with God's people. There will always be enough. So rest and be restored. We're invited to practice Sabbath in this way, to take a day of rest, trusting that there is enough. Not simply enough, but an abundance, enough to go around. Jewish philosopher Abraham Joseph Heschel says that to practice the Sabbath is to rest as if the work is done. Out of the abundance of God's providing hand, we rest on the Sabbath, not because the work is done, there is always more to do, but as if the work is done. Because we trust that God provides enough so that we do not need to keep scratching for more. And we need this message now, don't we, friends, as much as ever. In the midst of a global pandemic and a racial apocalypse, we need to practice Sabbath rest as if the work is done, trusting that God is providing enough today to sustain us for tomorrow. But there's a problem. As we hear in the gospel text, we don't have the right perceptions about what the Sabbath is to be. As Jesus does with the Pharisees, today I want to challenge all of us to reconsider what it means to practice the Sabbath. In today's text, we see Jesus pushing against a number of aspects of Sabbath piety to get in the way we practice justice. And for us, this provokes the question of what our practice is oriented toward. Who is the Sabbath for? Is it for us to check off our piety box each week? Or does the Sabbath serve to glorify God through the great purposes of equipping God's people to bring justice, mercy, and peace to a broken world? Now, growing up, I had a lot of different ideas about what the Sabbath was meant to be. First, it was the day that you went to church. Sabbath and Sunday were synonymous. I also thought that the Sabbath was the day when businesses were supposed to be closed. And growing up, this was a much more regular practice. Sabbath keeping, really, it seemed pretty unattainable. As a kid, I wanted to play when I had a day off. I didn't want to just sit in my living room with my family all day. No offense, Mom and Dad. These ideas evolved, though, as I grew up, and ultimately, they caused me to disregard the Sabbath as a practice that was irrelevant to my faith and my context. I was doing the best I could, showing up to church on Sundays, youth group on Wednesdays, serving throughout the week. I felt like I had given God what God needed. Why give more? Why a full day? And just as Jesus does with the Pharisees, so I also know he is doing with me. I have come to believe that the Sabbath is something entirely different than these early notions I held. I have come to know that practicing Sabbath is nothing short of a lifeline. It is a powerful comma in the sentence of our days, a space for replenishment and joy and activity and hope. See how Jesus frames the Sabbath in our text this morning. First, when he's asked about the disciples gleaning in the field on the Sabbath, he challenges the Pharisees to remember the great King David and his Sabbath-breaking meal. David knew that the needs of his companions were more important than a pious restraint from eating the temple bread. Then Jesus digs in deeper and challenges us to look squarely at the clergy of the religious establishment. Aren't they breaking Sabbath by doing their work on this day? Oh, wait, they aren't? So they're guiltless. He pulls both of those examples, and then he takes us way back into a wide view and reorients his listeners' perspective on the temple and juxtaposes it with true Sabbath practice. Temple piety does not always equate to practicing mercy. The ethic of human life, the care for the needs of the hungry or the sick, these are in the realm of practicing mercy. And when sacrificing gets in the way of mercy giving, we have a problem. Jesus pushes this out a bit more in the second section of our gospel text. The clergy members clearly still don't get what he's on about, and they ask him about curing a man on the Sabbath. They challenge Jesus with a bind. Will you heal on the Sabbath, or will you refrain from doing work? Now, masterfully, Jesus flips the tables on them once more and challenges whether they value sheep over human life. Jesus heals the man on the Sabbath. He does work in the synagogue, healing, liberating work. And this makes the clergy angry because, my friends, they, and I'd say we, are missing the point. So, if we're missing the point, and if the Sabbath is actually about resting in God's abundance, where do we go from here? How do we practice Sabbath in a world of disruption and unceasing work? Honestly, I needed these texts this week, as they are working on me. Lately, I have noticed my body being more and more fatigued. I am not waking up rested. I'm tired more and more of the time, and I'm realizing I haven't really taken good rest in a while. Sure, I've used some vacation days and got some downtime, but in this season, it seems there is no true way to get downtime because each day presents us with a fresh challenge. A news cycle filled with division and uncertainty. A new report of hope for our world. And then another story of brutality and violence. We are whipped back and forth. I need this text. And I want to bet that so many of you do too. Because I need to rest. And I need to remember what the rest is for. That's the key. What is the rest for? Let's go back to our pious clergy members and the misconceptions that many of us hold about the Sabbath. Practicing Sabbath is about finding the goodness of God in the land of the living and delighting in it and responding to the abundance of God that God has provided us with great joy and celebration and gives us space to rest, helping us root down again in God's presence. And to that end, Sabbath, as the clergy members of the religious establishment saw it, and as I'm sure many of us see it, Sabbath is not about showing up and doing pious religious stuff. I'm going to push on this a bit here, just to illustrate. I want to challenge us to consider that what we are doing right now, gathering in worship, it is not the fullness of what it means to practice Sabbath. Sabbath practice looks like carving out intentional time to rest, delight, celebrate, and enjoy. And often, yes, often, worship is a part of this. But think about it. How many of you are on committees with your church? How many of you serve as elders or deacons? How many of you help with children's activities or lead worship with your musical gifts in your church? Do you serve as an usher or do you help with the church website? Now, first, I want to say a resounding thank you for this. This glorious work of serving the church and participating in worship is a foretaste of the reign of God and something we should wholeheartedly participate in and be a part of. And second, and I hope you'll laugh with me here, it's not Sabbath keeping. An example to further illustrate this. At St. James, we have our church session meeting following church every second Sunday of the month. For elders, there is work to do. Good work, important gospel-bringing work. It's the work that Jesus is actually supporting in a way as he talks in verse 5 of our text and notices the priests working in the temple and their guiltlessness for breaking the Sabbath. That is not what the Sabbath is about in the first place. And I'm sorry if I've confused you here. Here's what I'm getting at. Sabbath practice, Sabbath rest, is a wholly different kind of piety. Put it a different way, it's a wholly different way of making the most of our God-given intellect and gifts that we would use in our work day to day. It is different and complementary and equips the great work we do, the works of worship, service, and action. Sabbath rest is the invitation to trust that we are held in the loving arms of God enough to take a breath, take a moment, a day, to simply exist and delight in the goodness of that. Sabbath rest looks like turning the computer off. It looks like going for a long run, not because your training schedule demands it, but because your body delights in it. Sabbath rest looks like celebrating an abundant feast with people we love and inviting others who do not have enough to come to the table as well. For me, practically, Sabbath is what I do on Saturdays, on a day when I typically have no responsibilities. I spend the day on Friday with my family preparing, making sure everything is done around the house, and then on Saturdays, we rest. We play, and we eat, and we hike. We watch TV or read books. We delight that while the work is unceasing, we can pause. For some of us, Sabbath might very much be something that you practice on Sundays, and that is awesome. What we're getting at here is not a religious piety around how and when you do it. What we're getting at is that the Sabbath is a matter of the heart. And so I ask, does your practice of Sabbath invite you to rest, to let down your guard, to trust in God's abundance for a day? Then good. Please don't hear any critiques here as a condemnation for not practicing the Sabbath in the right way. We are all working on it. We're all trying. And we all know how difficult it can be to carve time to simply rest. I very much get that myself. But rather today, I want you to hear the invitation to find the space, however you can, because it's worth it for your soul, for your community, and for the glory of God. I'll close with this. When and how you practice the Sabbath will look different depending on who you are. And so what's more important is asking the question of what is the practice inviting you into? If the practice leads you to not feed the hungry, to not work for justice, then you might be doing it wrong. If Sabbath keeping invites you to be restored, to pause, and then be more fully equipped to care and support and love and give of our resources and share and lift up the needs of the poor, then Sabbath rest is probably happening. If it is inviting you deeper into love of Christ, love of neighbor, and love of self, you're probably doing it right. When we start to practice the Sabbath, we push against all the powers of the world, which tell us that things are scarce, others are threatening, and that we should hoard our time, resources, and energy. When we start to practice Sabbath, even in the smallest ways, we find that God opens us up to greater mercy, loving kindness, forgiveness, and grace. And as people who have rested and delighted in God's goodness, we can also be a people of liberation, setting others free from the endless cycles of violence, despair, and fear that bind us. And friends, we desperately need this right now. May the delight of God's abundance show you that you are loved, and as you practice the Sabbath, that you are set free to therefore set others free. Would you pray with me? Lord of the Sabbath, invite us deeper into the rest that you offer. Invite us to delight in your goodness, to breathe out, and to pause. And in this invitation, Lord, inspire us toward action, that in our rest we may become greater, better equipped to do your work of justice in the world. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.